You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the midweek edition of the Punt Podcast here with William Hill and myself, Dave Kellner, joined by Mr. Lee Phelps to look ahead to the European action over the course of the next few evenings. We've got four games to take a check on in the Champions League and three in the Europa League this midweek. We don't ever talk about naps on the midweek Punt Podcast. That's mainly because they're dismal, folks. If they were doing well, we'd mention them at every possible opportunity, but they're not, Lee.
I'm not talking about them. First rule of the midweek punt is you don't talk about the weekend naps.
That is the only rule of the midweek punt.
I can't believe you're
here. That's the only rule of any punt podcast.
I can't believe you're here.
Go on. Yeah, I know. Champions League. It's a premium competition, so a premier competition, so I'm looking forward to it.
I've got one for you. Before we get into the Champions League, can I just throw this at you?
Yes.
This beautiful special, Jamie Vardy special. Will Jamie Vardy break Ruud van Nistelrooy's Premier League record of 10 consecutive goals in 10 consecutive games? He's currently on 8. This is how beautiful football is, DK, though. Okay, so he's on 8. They've got Watford at home.
Okay,
17-20.
Good chance.
Newcastle away. Porous at the back. Was a 0-0 draw at the weekend. Chance. And then to break it, Man United at home on a Saturday night. Amazing, that, isn't it? Imagine if he gets to 10. He's got a score against Man U. It's just beautiful. 11-1, though.
Framed perfectly.
11-1.
It's about right, isn't it? What price do you think he'll be going into
20
that?
17-20 to score against Watford. He'll be
even money, maybe 13-10.
Yeah, I was going to say about 13-10. I think he'll be a slight odds against maybe at Newcastle. Maybe, I don't know.
That's if he's got 8 straight, though. You can't imagine him going in there.
Wow. I'd have a go at 11-1, but you know I'm daft.
People are mad, though, aren't they? People are mad. I think that 11-1 will be attractive to some. And yeah. I was talking to a few of our less intelligent colleagues out in the office earlier, and they were saying this guy should be starting for England each and every game now. He's enjoying a purple patch. Purple patch. Let's just enjoy it for what it is.
What strikers would you play at front for England at the moment then?
Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Better than him.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Oh, I'd play two up front personally.
Would
I'd
you?
I'd play Kane and Vardy.
Okay.
Proper old fashioned 4-4-2.
I think he'll play one leading striker, either Vardy and Kane, and he won't drop Wayne Rooney.
No, he won't.
No matter what Wayne Rooney does in the next 6 months, he's going to start in the Euros, I think.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
No, I think Kane's probably earned the right to start, and if it was me, I'd play them both and see how they get on together. Because, you know, Rooney might get injured before Euros. He might just completely forget how to play football because he seems to be on that path, doesn't he? He's slowly but surely losing the ability. There was a nice little back heel at the weekend, I noticed.
That
was nice.
I watched the full game and that was the only good thing he did, really.
Yeah.
And that pass that Martial put through to him, which looked to be weighted absolutely perfectly, and he just couldn't quite get there. You know, I'm not... The commentators were saying how well the keeper had done, being perfectly positioned and coming off to his line and getting to... His back legs have gone, haven't they?
I don't know about that, but when that ball was laid through, I thought, wow, what a ball. Where's it gone?
Yeah, precisely.
It just
ran away from him.
Yeah, if you were at full pace, I think you would have got to that. But we'll see about Rooney. But yeah, I'd play them both up front. I think it'd be great to see them. But you're probably right. Vardy on the bench, Kane to start. Probably replace Kane at some point during the second half. But 11-1. I'm going to have a little tickle on that.
Okay. Let's get stuck into the midweek football then. We'll start with Manchester United at home to CSKA Moscow on Tuesday night, 7:45. Man United 4-7 to win the game. The draw 11-4. CSKA Moscow 11-2. Man United should be 4-7 to score a goal in the game, as far as I'm concerned, the way they're playing at the moment. Three consecutive games without scoring for Manchester United. They were pretty poor at Selhurst Park, as mentioned. Watched that full game and they weren't incisive enough. They're not creating enough chances. It's not like they're missing boatloads of chances, Lee. They're just not creating anything. And this is a match which is imperative for Manchester United to win. They drew 1-1 in Russia. They've got this home game coming up, followed by one against PSV Eindhoven. Manchester United in the first game, the last time they scored a goal, Martial got the equaliser. They dominated possession, but as mentioned, they weren't incisive enough. And 4-7, it's probably about the right price, given that CSKA Moscow won't offer that much going forward, but 4-7.
It's short enough, isn't it, for a Man U team who, like you say, aren't shown as much. In Europe, though, I think they've been a lot better. I think you can figure out what they are. I mean, the last game, the away game that you mentioned, the 1-1 draw in CSKA Moscow, was the first time this season that I haven't landed the over 2.5 in a Man United game. All the way through, they've just been guaranteeing us goals. What we did land in that game was Dumbia to score, though, and I think a lot of people will be back on him to score again here. 13-5 if they can score a goal. Now, they didn't score at Wolfsburg, and they don't try that hard away from home. You mentioned it. 39% possession at Wolfsburg, 39% possession away in the game at Sporting. Did score there, though. Lost 2-1. They had 48% possession against Sparta Prague. Didn't have that many shots on goal, but won 3-2. It was Dumbia who scored in that game at Sporting. I think Man United are more open in the Champions League. I think they go for it. You look at the results so far. 3-1 against Club Brugge, 2-1 against Wolfsburg. Carrick own goal for Club Brugge and a 4th-minute goal for Wolfsburg. So they've had to come from behind in both those home games so far. I wouldn't be surprised if CSKA do get on the score sheet here. I think it'll be different to what we see in the Premier League. CSKA will sit back and allow Man United to come onto them a bit more. And I think Man United, with that bit of confidence they've got in the Champions League, will have a go. Again, though, you look at the strikers. You know, it's not the strikers who are getting the goals here. Depay got 2 and Fellaini got 1 in the 3-1 win against Club Brugge. Mata got a penalty and Smalling got the goals against Wolfsburg. So it's not, you know, Martial and Rooney who are doing all the damage here. So I think if you're looking for a scorer, maybe have a look further down. Hmm. You know, maybe look at Mata again or Depay, 29-20.
Depay's a doubt, isn't he? Yeah. I think he's a doubt. And news, we're recording this on Monday, news coming through that Morgan Schneiderlin didn't train with the first team, so that could weaken them slightly.
I like Herrera.
Do check the team news, obviously.
I do like Herrera breaking through as well, if he gets a game, 17-10, to be involved. I just think that, I think Man United will win the game. I think it might be a bit of a tricky one, might take them a little bit of time. You know, CSKA, 2 wins since 2011 away from home in the Champions League, away from home. One at Man City when they shocked the City that year. They had 2 men sent off. And that one that I mentioned earlier on, Sparta Prague, this season. So they don't travel well, like you say. Do get goals, though. Only a couple of matches where they haven't scored in recent times. And that was that game at Wolfsburg in this group and away at Bayern Munich last December. So, you know, they generally get goals. I'm gonna go with them. I like the over 2.5. It's just a really steady bet here. So, you know, again, I've only lost that once so far, so I'm happy to go again.
4-5.
Yeah. You know, it's been around that price all the way along, but if you've been backing that through Man United's progression through this tournament, then you're on it. But I'm going to play Man United to win and both teams to score 5-2. I think that's a nice price with a team who have got quality in their ranks, i.e. Dumbia. I mean, you know, let's not forget Moussa's a decent player as well, both 13-5 to score here. Tosic has been scoring a couple of goals recently as well, and he's scored in back-to-back games in the domestic division. 5-1 any time for Tosic to score against Man U. But we'll stick with Dumbia if you like a goal scorer, but Man United to win and both teams to score for me.
I'm going to go the 5-2, Man United to win and under 2.5 goals. Yeah. I like the 1-0, 2-0 here,
yeah,
because
enough.
I think just the way Manchester United has started stifling sides at the moment,
yep,
lends itself to that bet. So I'll take you on slightly there.
No, I can see where you'd go for that, but I just think they'll sneak one, CSKA.
The other Manchester club, Manchester City, away from home against Sevilla on Tuesday night. Sevilla 19-10 to win this game. The draw 11-5, and Manchester City a 6-4. Headline offers here, Kevin Gamero to score and Sevilla to win is 5-1. Kevin De Bruyne to score and Manchester City to win is also in the market at 5-1. Turned into a really tough group, this one, for Manchester City.
Yeah.
And if we assume that Juventus go to Borussia Mönchengladbach and win, it's imperative that Manchester City get a point from this game, really. They've won the last 2 Champions League games, Manchester City, with last-minute goals, firstly from Sergio Aguero and then Kevin De Bruyne. But they have an away game against Juventus to come before they finish off the group with that home game against Borussia Mönchengladbach. As has been the case, I think, since Manuel Pellegrini took over, this will be his 60th Champions League game in charge. They've struggled for consistency in Europe, Manchester City, and they've lost their last 3 trips to Spain in the Champions League as well. Each of those defeats has come by a single goal. And 9 of the last 10 goals that City have scored in this competition have come in the second half as well. So notoriously slow starters in recent history in the Champions League.
Yeah, they're a funny side, aren't they? They're not pulling up any trees at all at home. 11th in La Liga, not doing particularly great. Lost 2-1 to Villarreal at the weekend. Did stick 5 past Getafe in the domestic game before that. So, you know, got a few goals there. And they have got some good strikers here. Gamero, Llorente, Immobile, Konoplyanka. I mean, there's some decent players there. Yeah. You know, they've also got Kakuta in this team as well. So it's not like they're a poor side. And I think maybe they're holding out their best form for the Champions League. Hard to go with City, even with back-to-back wins in the Champions League. As you said, they're always having to do it the hard way. You know, came from behind to win 2-1 in Germany and didn't score the first goal there till the 65th. Came from the goal behind against Sevilla at home to win as well, 2-1, as you mentioned. I'm struggling with this a little bit. I think City would probably accept the draw here. You look at how the group's looking at the minute. Juventus on 7 points. City on 6 points, Sevilla on 3. That kills Sevilla, I think. If they get 4 and City manage to move on to 7, you know, City have still got to go away to Juve. And then they've got the final group game, which you'd think should be a win at home against Borussia Mönchengladbach. Nothing certain for City in the Champions League. But you'd imagine that City have got 3 points in the bag in that game. So that would move them on to, just not counting the Juventus game at the moment, that would move them on to 10 points. I don't think Sevilla can reach 10 points. I know that, you know, they've got this City game at home. They've got to go away to Borussia Mönchengladbach and they're at home to Juve.
My concern there is that last game might be meaningless for Juventus.
Could well be. I mean, you can't do what I'm doing if you're Man City. You've got to go into every game and try and get it. But I think they'd be happy with the draw. I think the draw is a big player in this match. They don't know how to draw a game. If this was Manchester United of old, you know, or maybe Chelsea, maybe not even Chelsea, let's say Manchester United of old, and they knew a point was good, and they were drawing 1-1, they'd just settle for that.
Yes.
They'd go for that, and Sir Alex Ferguson would make sure they got that point and didn't do anything daft. I don't think City know how to do that. I think Sevilla will be going for it as well. So I'm not going to pick a result here. I'm going to have a look at the both teams to score and over 2.5. I think both teams will get into this game. City have only failed to score on 3 occasions away from home in the... 4 occasions at 3 teams away from home in the Champions League. Barcelona, Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund. These don't begin with B. There's no way that they're going to manage to keep them to nil. And that's not how I'm judging this. I just think that City, especially, you know, I know they haven't got Aguero, but yeah, especially with, you know, I think the forward line that they've got and the attacking ability they've got, especially on the break with the likes of, you know, of Sterling and De Bruyne, I think they've got the ability to hit Sevilla on the break and have a right go at this. So both teams to score and over 2.5 is 5-6. Steady bet, but I can see this. I can see goals in this game.
Okay, and if you're looking at Sevilla's home form in the Champions League group stage, there's one stat that jumps out here from Opta. They've yet to suffer defeat at home in the group stages of the Champions League. They've won 6 and drawn 1, so a difficult side to beat at home, Sevilla. Let's move on to Wednesday night and Chelsea versus Dinamo Kiev. Stamford Bridge, 7:45. Chelsea 3-4. The draw 5-2. Dinamo Kiev 4-1. Headline offers, Oscar to score. And Chelsea to win is 4-1. Andrei Yarmolenko to score and Dynamo Kiev to win is in the betting at 12-1. 0-0 draw in the reverse fixture in Kiev. And Chelsea in complete disarray at the moment, really. Beaten 3-1, badly beaten by Liverpool at Stamford Bridge. At the weekend, Jose Mourinho... he continues to take punches, doesn't he, at the moment?
I'm kidding.
And he... strikes me as a rather forlorn figure. I don't know if you saw that interview with Des Kelly on BT Sport after the match on Sunday afternoon, and he was it Sunday or Saturday? I can't remember now which day
Saturday,
it was, but
yeah.
The weekend, yeah. And he was questioning Mourinho, and Mourinho just had nothing to say.
No.
Nothing to say. But he needs these players to start believing in what he's preaching, basically, because they're not responding to him at the moment.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because you get one school of thought and sources who say, no, absolute rubbish. They all love him still. It's all fine. You know, no problems there. They just need to get confidence. They need to get this, that, and the other. Then you see today, like, headlines all over the place. And Gary Richardson on BBC 5 Live yesterday saying that he's heard that they don't want him. that, you know, is Hazard can't abide the guy, you know, blah, 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 all this. So it's hard to know who to believe. When you look at what's going on the pitch, you'd have to believe the latter, wouldn't you? I mean,
How quickly do things change, though? That's what I fail to understand, how Eden Hazard can be superb last season under the same manager. How has that relationship soured so quickly, if that is the case?
Yeah, I don't think it probably is the case. I think the kind of manager that Mourinho is, all the positives that you think about him could also be negatives, couldn't they? It's kind of, you know, the way he acts can soon be seen as being a negative. And I look at it like, I watched that Liverpool game and I think to myself, they didn't play particularly badly. You know, Liverpool played really well. But, you know, in his mind and in the players' minds, another decision went against them. You know, you must be sat there thinking, what? How was Lucas still on the pitch in that situation? I'm not sure it was that cast iron, you know, sending off, to be fair, a yellow card.
I think it was, though.
It was a yellow card, wasn't
it? Yes, it was.
But it wasn't like, you know, he hasn't raked down the back of his leg, but it was one where you think, that's strange, why is he not given that? Mm. And everything seems to build up. I think this might be a little bit of a release of the pressure cooker here. I just don't rate Dynamo Kiev that highly. We were talking to Robbie last week, Robbie Savage, and he went out to the away game, and he said there wasn't much about Dynamo Kiev, Yarmolenko apart, who did score in the last away game at Maccabi Tel Aviv, by the way. But I just wonder how, if they will be as keyed up as they should be. I think if Dynamo Kiev realised what a disarray Chelsea are in, and if they had the balls to go and have a go at this game, then I think they could probably go and beat Chelsea. I'm not sure they will. That's not really what they do. You know, look at the games that Dynamo Kiev have won away from home in the Champions League in recent years. Maccabi Tel Aviv, Borussia Mönchengladbach and Feyenoord. You know, not great. And, you know, they've lost at Porto, lost at PSG, lost at Ajax, Rubin Kazan. So, you know, they don't tend to go away and do particularly well.
Just to throw a stat at you there as well, they've drawn 1, lost 7 of their 8 away trips in England. Dynamo Kiev, and in 6 of those 8 away games they failed to score. So as you mentioned, they don't travel well, and particularly when they arrive in England as well.
Yeah. Having said all that, I cannot back Chelsea. I mean, the 3-4, which in any other season you'd be like, what? 3-4?
That looks, it looks mammoth.
I can't back them on top. I cannot do it because I've not seen enough. What I can do, though, is back Willian to score. I think Willian has been the shining light in this Chelsea team for weeks and weeks and weeks now. You know, you're getting a nice price of 19-10 about him playing, about him scoring, if he plays, obviously. I mean, all these things are down to team news. But, you know, we've seen him so far in the Champions League already. You know, he scored the opener against Maccabi Tel Aviv, in the home game when they won 4-0. And he also scored in that 2-1 defeat at Porto as well. So I'm not going to touch the outright. I think Chelsea will win it. I'm going to go for Willian to score at just under 2-1.
Good stuff. I like that. One bet that I'd throw at you as well, listeners, if you want to dabble, if you think that Dynamo Kiev can get a goal in this game, what about Andrei Yarmolenko to score and Chelsea to win the match? That's just short of 10-1,
nice.
19-2. He is their danger man. You mentioned it in your preview there. I think he is the man Dynamo Kiev are going to score in this game.
If they lose this, he's gone, Mourinho.
Do you think?
Well, because do you remember like when he went the first time? They were in a similar situation, and it was the defeat to Copenhagen in the Champions League that did him in. It was like, right, okay, because I have got this feeling, and I may well look stupid, it wouldn't be the first time, that Chelsea, if they keep him,
okay,
are a decent bet to win the Champions League each way.
Right, okay.
Because if they keep him and he gets through this spell,
yes,
these players will come into form. What people say is that they came back a little bit late and they weren't quite ready for the season. And because they got off to a bad start, the confidence has been knocked so much. You know, that whole thing, remember that thing about, was it Martin Keown said a few seasons ago, that if you're not going to win, if you're a champion and you're not going to win the title, they know they're not going to win the title. It's very difficult to play for second.
Yes.
Well, I wonder if they'll be able to reserve the best form. If they get into some form, get through Christmas, start to find form again, maybe they can do it. I mean, they're 20-1, which is the same price as Juventus, of course, who were your runners-up last year, same price as Arsenal and Man United. Yeah,
I'm a horrible cynic, you see, Lee.
And, I know.
And I can't get out of my mind that Jose Mourinho signed this huge contract for an extension for 4 years, and then 2 months into it, his team are playing like this, and he seems sour all of a sudden. As if he doesn't want to. It's third year syndrome, isn't it? There's been articles written about this, how Mourinho takes a club to the point, has the success, that success tails off, and instead of sticking it out and building a dynasty at a club, he moves on to the next challenge and provides the next club he goes to with a bit of instant success and so on and so forth.
It's also hard to see, not that he cares about his relationship with the media, but let's say he turns it around a little bit. There's a lot of acrimony now, isn't there? You know, the media don't particularly like him. I don't think he cares about that. But what, you know, when they're winning games in February, say, and it's all okay, I can't imagine him being all cheery and like, "Hi everyone," you know, and laughing and making jokes like he used to in press conferences.
No,
I can imagine him just being like, "No, yes,"
I can imagine, I can imagine the journalists just thinking, well, even if he did that,
we're after him.
Yeah, well, thinking this is the guy that gave us nothing for a few months at the start of the season, and was overly hostile towards us. It's an intriguing. It's going to be very intriguing to see if he.
It's great fun.
Stays at
it's
the club.
Great fun. I love his press conferences.
I do as well. I mean, as someone that doesn't have to deal with him in any particular way,
I'd love it. I'd be like, "Oh, get us in there! This is going to be amazing." You just ask him what you want, and it's gold every time. Every question you ask him. Porto at 50s, by the way. Another intrigue. You know, there's always one club who seem to get through to the semis who maybe aren't fancied.
Yeah,
they have looked very good.
No, I can see that.
50-1. Each way, maybe to get to the final.
I'd rather have them than Chelsea.
Yeah,
right,
fair
now,
enough.
At 20s.
Yeah.
Bayern Munich. What price are they? They've got a good chance this year. 2-5 Bayern Munich on Wednesday night to beat Arsenal, who are 6-1, and the draw's 4-1. Headline offers: Robert Lewandowski to score and Bayern to win is 5-4. Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win, big price 14-1 here. If you're looking at both score no draw. Yes, is 5-4. I don't think you mentioned it in the previous. I think I did the previous Pump podcast for the Champions League. I think
maybe
so.
Maybe you listened to it.
And maybe so. I might have heard a clip somewhere, maybe online. Arsenal beat Bayern Munich at the Emirates 2-0. You said on this podcast, I believe, that you thought it was a good opportunity for Arsenal, but I don't think you ended up going for them.
No, I didn't.
Something like that happened, and then you were.
I can't remember. I think I went for a goal scorer. I think I went for Sanchez to score in the game.
That does sound like your modus operandi, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So that's probably what happened.
Yeah, and I didn't get that right either because it was Sharoon Ozil.
You were tempted by Arsenal, and I think you bemoaned the fact that you didn't select Arsenal on the podcast.
I think we talk a lot, don't we? But I think by the time the game kicked off...
We don't, listeners.
But by the time the game kicked off, I think we'd had a chat in the office. It might not be... I had a chat with someone in the office, and we were kind of... After the podcast was recorded... Guardiola had done a press conference where he'd said, you know, I think, you know, Arsenal want this game more than we do. And I suddenly started thinking, that's a strange thing for an opposition manager to say. And it just struck me that Arsenal were 100% hell-bent on getting the win.
Yeah.
And Bayern didn't really
It wasn't
need
vital
to.
For Bayern.
So, I mean, you know, at this level of football, I think if you've got a couple of percentage points off, then I think it's worth a go. Now,
I think this is a different kettle of fish entirely, isn't it? Because I think Bayern Munich will, even though they've been to Arsenal and maybe weren't that up for it, they'll want revenge here. Definitely.
I think so.
And you look at their home form, Bayern Munich. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to tell you they're good at home. They've won all their home games in the league this season, scored 24, conceded just 3. In addition to that, they've won 16 of their last 17 home games in the Champions League, and they've won the last 7 at home, keeping 5 clean sheets and conceding just 3. So they are very, very strong at home, Bayern Munich. And... I think Arsenal will get blown away here, Lee.
Do you think so?
I think they will get absolutely hammered, in my opinion. I think this could be a bloodbath.
I think it's interesting that at the weekend, they drew 0-0 at the weekend, didn't they, Bayern Munich?
They did, didn't they?
Which is incredible. It's the first points they've dropped this season. They'd won 10 on the spin and dropped the 2 points at Eintracht Frankfurt. Not for want of trying. 22 shots on goal, 72% possession. So, you know, they had a bit of a go at it, and I think it was just one of those days. Look, I mean, they're superb. When they want to be, they're brilliant. I mean, you mentioned about the winning the games at home. 5-0. These are just those wins that they've had at home. 5-0 against Dynamo Zagreb, 3-2 Barcelona, 6-1 Porto, 7-0 Shakhtar, 3-0 CSKA Moscow, 2-0 Roma and 1-0 Man City. Interestingly enough, Arsenal haven't got a bad record, though. They haven't lost in either of the last two visits to Munich.
Yeah.
They drew 1-1, but let's not forget, you know, these are games where Bayern haven't got anything to play for particularly. That 1-1 was after they'd been beaten 2-0 at home by Munich. Arsenal had and I remember the game quite clearly. I think Bayern got a little bit blasé during the game, but then ended up seeing it out. The game before that, Arsenal had beaten Bayern Munich 2-0 again at that stage, but they'd been beaten well at the Emirates again there. So they always go there when it always seems like Arsenal can get a result when there's not much on the table. It's almost like Bayern Munich feel a bit sorry for them and go, oh, it's Arsenal, I like Arsenal. But 2-5 is a short price. 61 is a big price for Arsenal.
Do you think
it?
Arsenal will set up as they did at the Emirates and try and soak up that pressure?
It'd be a brave thing to do again, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they didn't play. They've been accused in the past of playing slightly naively, haven't they, Arsenal? And in that particular match, they didn't. They dropped off by Munich, allowed them to have the ball in front of them, defended solidly, and then hit them quickly on the counter attack. I just wonder whether they'll try and play for a 0-0 here, Arsenal. It's not in their nature whatsoever.
It's going to be so difficult.
I can see them inviting a heck of a lot of pressure and just hoping that the floodgates don't open early. And they can almost try and stem the tide early on in the game and hopefully either nick one or hold on to a 0-0 draw. I see Bayern Munich... I can see them pulverising them here. I really can at home, given that they want their revenge. I think they'll want revenge. I think they'll know. I think Pep Guardiola will have drummed it into them that Arsenal have been to Bayern and beaten them, and yep, that they've got to get revenge for that game they lost at the Emirates recently as well.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go against you. I think it'll be a much calmer game than that. Bayern Munich are on 6 points. Olympiacos are on 6. Arsenal on 3. What they can't let Arsenal do is win. And I think they'll know that if they get through this game, Bayern Munich, then they'll win the group. I think they'll win the group anyway. But yeah, I'm kind of going to go against that. I think I don't think it'll be quite the same as that. I mean, Arsenal +2 at 7-10, I quite like. It means they can lose by a single goal. It's still odds on though. I don't really like backing an odds on shot here, even though it's better than the 2-5. I'll tell you what, I'm going to back here. Total match goals under 3.5 at 8-13.
Okay.
I like that. I think it's about as short as I want to go in the match, with something that I think, you know, it's got to play there. So under 3.5 at 8-13 or the +2 for Arsenal at 7-10, but I'll plump for the under 3.5 goal. So a 3-0 for Bayern would still get me it.
It would. It would.
If your prediction comes true.
Under 3.5 goals, 8-13, I think they might win by more. We'll see. Rubin Kazan versus Liverpool now in the Europa League on Thursday night, 6 p.m. Kick-off this one. Rubin Kazan 14-5 to win the game. The draw is 11-5, and Liverpool in the betting at 21-20. Rubin Kazan have won all three of their previous home games against English sides. They went to Anfield and drew 1-1 back in late October, 22nd of October, that game. Marko Devic put the visitors in front, but after Oleg Kuzmin's dismissal, Emre Can levelled, and Klopp managed to get the point on that occasion. It was a pretty dire match. Mm. But since then, obviously, Jurgen Klopp's men have been to Stamford Bridge and won, and that will give them an immense amount of confidence going into this game. Rubin's 7 matches against English teams, they've won 3, drawn 2 and lost 2, but those 3 wins came in Russia, and this one's in Russia as well. So I suppose they've got an opportunity against Liverpool. This match, I think, depends on how much you think Liverpool have advanced under Klopp.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I mean, a lot of people will be like, "Oh, they beat Chelsea 3-1 away from home." That means, you know, they're gonna paste Rubin Kazan. Obviously, it doesn't work quite like that. And up until that game, they weren't exactly, you know, superb, were they? They had lots of shots on target, though, against Chelsea. Suddenly they looked a better team, didn't they? And I don't know if that's because Chelsea allowed them the space. If Chelsea were a little bit... Maybe Ruben will be a little bit more careful. You look at their Europa League matches. 0-0. These are home matches. 0-0, 1-0, 1-1, 2-0. This is going back to last season. 1-1. It's very rare that they actually see more than 2.5 goals in the match.
Yeah.
I remember when they beat Wigan a few seasons ago, they won 1-0. And it was all, you know, pretty steady away. And Liverpool's Europa League form has been pretty similar. I mean, 1-1, 1-1, 1-1. I think he'll make changes again. I thought he would play Benteke in like the League Cup last week. He didn't. He played Origi, and you know, Origi's the headline offer here to score in Liverpool to win. I think he'll play a weakened team, so I don't think he'll get quite the same out of them that he got at Chelsea. I think we're going to see a pretty tight game here. The draw is 11-5. I'm happy to go back to the draw and see, you know, if Liverpool maintain that. I wonder how bothered he is about this competition as well. You know, he's got a big season, hasn't he?
I think he's more intent on making sure they qualify for the Champions League by finishing in that top four than he is. I suppose this is an automatic entry.
If you win
entrance
it.
Point into the,
to go,
into the Europa League if you do win it. Draw's not bad for them. In Rubin Kazan as well.
No.
I mean, that means that game against Bordeaux could be the decisive game as far as the group is concerned,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Sion should win the group now.
I don't see it being a 2-2 or a 3-3 either, by the way, so I'd be happy to go for drawn under 2.5, just give you that extra bit of value, 3-1.
Okay, drawn under 2.5 goals at 3-1 in that game. The draw 11-5. Rubin are 14-5 and Liverpool 21-20. Celtic also a 6 p.m. kickoff. They're taking on Molde. Celtic 8-13. The draw 14-5 and Molde 9-2. Chris Commons to score and Celtic to win 3-1. Ola Kamara to score and Molde to win is in the betting at 10-1. Molde beat Celtic on the same night that Liverpool drew with Kazan. That was the club's first matchup, and they won 3-1. And that was a triumphant return to Molde for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who'd just taken over, was reappointed the previous day. They went up against Celtic and won 3-1. And since that win, they've played well. They've won at Aalesund and at home to Viking. Very good run in the league currently. And Celtic bottom of this group with only 2 points. Molde top with 7. Celtic are unbeaten in 5 European home games, but the odds heavily skewed in Celtic's favour here. I must admit, I'm not sure why the prices are as they are for this game.
No, it's a strange one, isn't it? I mean, I haven't really bothered looking at the outrights, if I'm being honest. I mean, Celtic haven't impressed too many people this year in Europe. What we have seen week in, week out in the Europa League is goals in their matches.
Yes.
We put up over 3.5 in the Molde game, Molde v Celtic, and that came in at 3. They won 3-1, of course. And I wouldn't be surprised to see something similar here. You know, the thing to bear in mind with Molde at the minute is that, you know, as you mentioned, they've had a little, you know, little upturn in form, but the season is all but done. Now, they've finished. They're in sixth at the minute. They could finish as high as fourth, but they're not going to get into Europe. So the new manager's taken over. He's got this new team. We're suddenly on a bit of a crest of a wave. All their attention is going to be now on the Europa League because they've got plenty of time to play in it. They won't have any league games to worry about either, and I think they're going to go up to the Christmas break, and they're going to play well up until that point. One thing we figured out before as well when we previewed this game was, you look at Molde's scoring record, they're the third highest scorers in the Eliteserien in Norway, despite the fact that they finished down there. I mean, they're actually one of the top scorers at home, and that's why we went for the over 3.5. so I can see something similar here. Celtic, you know, I haven't been able to get excited by them, to be fair, in this group. The bottom of the group, 2 points from the 3 games. Molde on 7. I think they're going hell for leather to win this group. New manager in charge, as you mentioned. So I think Molde are a good bet to win this game. I haven't quite decided. I mean, the thing with Celtic at that home crowd, I know it's not quite the same as a Champions League night, but will Celtic have enough just to make sure they don't lose the match? You know, they had a 2-2 draw against Fenerbahce at home, of course. You know, going back to last year, 3-3 against Inter.
Yeah.
You know, they don't give up their they don't give up the goal easily. That's why I'm not quite sure on that 9-2. But I think given the fact that they've got more to play for, I'm pretty tempted, to be fair. In terms of the overs and the goals, it's 30-20, the over 2.5 this time. So I'm not sure I could go for that. Over 3.5 is 7-4, which is a little bit skinny as well. But I think there'll be goals in it. And I'm going to go for Elyounoussi to score 12-5. You'll see that he's been popping him in for fun recently. Scored in three successive games, four in the last six as well. Since the new boss has come back in, he seems to have really got the bit between his teeth.
Yes.
Scored in the reverse fixture as well. And I think that's a nice price for a player who's obviously in good form. And Celtic are hardly sure at the back. So Mohamed Elyounoussi to score anytime, 12-5 is my key bet here.
And we finish with Tottenham versus Anderlecht at White Hart Lane, 8:05 p.m. start time on Thursday night. This one, Tottenham 3-4 to win the game. The draw is 5-2, and Anderlecht in the market at 4-1. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win is one of the headline offers at 2-1. The other one, Imo Ezekiel to score and Anderlecht to win, a 12-1 shot. Stat from Opta here, which is an absolute corker. Anderlecht's 31 games against English clubs in European competition, they've won 7, drawn 5 and lost 19. Record in England, won none, drawn 2, lost 12. So their record when coming to these shores is diabolical, in all honesty. And they're without an away win in 12 European trips. And that includes obviously countries from around Europe, and they haven't won since a 6-0 win against Akranes. That came in the 2012-2013 Champions League third qualifying round. So away from home, they're a poor, poor side, Anderlecht.
Yeah, I don't know why Tottenham are 3-4.
Looks a good price to
me.
It does.
I mean, I think, I think that's a very fair price. I expect them to be much shorter than that, to be honest with you. Look, they've got Arsenal.
Do you think it's that price because Anderlecht beat them in the reverse fixture?
Well, maybe, but you've just outlined, what their away form's like.
Yes.
So I don't think it is the same. I don't think you can have that as the reason why, because it's an entirely different proposition. Look, Tottenham have got... We're recording this on Monday afternoon. Tottenham are playing Aston Villa tonight.
Yes.
So we don't know what's going to come out of that game.
No, we don't.
They've got Arsenal at the weekend away.
I wish we did.
Yeah, it'd be handy, wouldn't it? They've got Arsenal on the Sunday night, 4 o'clock away. So then, that may be on their mind. Now, you look at the other thing with Pochettino is I'm never quite sure what team he's going to play. I don't think he'd play Kane if he could get away with it. And he's not really doing the same kind of job he did in Europe as he used to, before he was a proven Premier League striker. I think Tottenham will win the game, and I think they might just try and do a job on Anderlecht. I'm happy to take the 3-4. If you want a little bit more than that, Tottenham to win and under 2.5 goals. I think this could be another one of those kind of, 1-0, 2-0, get the job done, and just stop Anderlecht as much as possible. Because I just don't see any reason why Tottenham need to go out and try and hammer them. So the Tottenham win under 2.5 is 5-2. But I'll happily take them just 3-4.
Yeah, and it's one of those matches that if you look at how tight this group is, it's not one that if Mauricio Pochettino's got any hopes of qualifying for the next stage, they've got to win this game.
Yeah.
It's not one that they can just cast aside because they've got a big game against Arsenal at the weekend.
It's tight, isn't it?
Really very tight group.
Yeah. I think they will win it as well. I mean, they've got this game against Anderlecht. They go away to Karabag. Well, let's be fair, they should win that one. They beat them 3-1 at home. And then they've got a home game against Monaco, who top the group at the moment. So plenty to play for here. Anderlecht have got Karabag to come as well, and an away trip to Monaco. So, I agree with you. If he's got any pretensions, I think he should have, really, because they're not going to win the Premier League. They've got cup competitions to aim for, and this. And let's not forget, the other thing is, you've got this game, you've got the next set of games on the 26th, then you've got that one game in December, then you can put it to bed, for a couple of months until February. So I think they should go for this.
Do you think this is a different situation to Jurgen Klopp's at Liverpool?
Yeah, because he's got no one's looking for him to progress in Europe, are they? They're just looking for him, as you said, to qualify for the Champions League. Tottenham would love to qualify for the Champions League, but they won't. Tottenham are below Liverpool, I think, in terms of where they are at the moment. I think, and I'm sure Pochettino would look.
Okay.
But, I think you've got Man City, Manchester United, Arsenal, Chelsea, who should be the top four, but shouldn't they?
Chelsea are going to struggle to get into that top four now.
They'll be
they?
There. They'll get there in the end.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Have we got prices on that?
Don't you think they will?
I think they're too far behind now.
Nah, all you got to do is go on a run. If they can get on a run and go get consistency, then, you know, I think that we're not exactly like we're absolutely... They're not desperate, are they?
Top four finish.
5-2
Spurs. So yeah. The same price, Chelsea and Spurs. I still think... In the top four.
Yeah, I'd take Chelsea over Spurs.
I'd not looked at those prices. They're interesting, those prices.
What would you go?
I think I'd go Spurs at 5-2.
Would you really?
I'd be really impressed with Spurs. Mm. And it wouldn't surprise me if Southampton are in the shake-up as well.
Nah.
They're
not
9-1 Southampton to be in the top four.
Don't be daft.
I think Manchester City, Arsenal and Manchester United are... You see,
points behind Tottenham there. That's two wins.
I'm not entirely convinced that Manchester United are absolute certainties at 1-8 the way they've played recently. Mm. And that would leave two spaces up for grabs. I mean, if you think you think Jamie Vardy is going to break that record, so you'd have Leicester in the mix, wouldn't you, at the end
Once
of the
season? Once he's broken the record.
In that top four.
They hit the glass mountain after
They're only 20-1 to be in the top four.
That is unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, like, I'm not an odd
dog. That can't happen, can it? But Tottenham have got the game in hand. Obviously, we've got, and that's against Aston Villa, so they'll move on to 20 points if they beat Villa tonight.
Yeah.
They're right in the mix. That puts them 9 points ahead of Chelsea at this stage in the season.
But Chelsea are capable of going on a run where they don't lose for ages if they ever hit form. Yeah. Tottenham will just fizzle away, won't they, like they always do?
I think there's a bit more steel in there. I think they've got a young, improving side with a bit of grit in there this time.
Well, they'll beat Anderlecht.
They should beat Anderlecht. Tottenham versus Anderlecht then. Tottenham 3-4, draw 5-2, Anderlecht 4-1. Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
Pleasure.
Thank you to everyone that's listened. Don't abuse us too much on Twitter. You can follow us at @dkellner and at @leephelps. Make sure you check out at @willhillbet as well. And myself, Lee and Derek will be back for the weekend's Premier League football. And someone, I presume, will be talking about those FA Cup matches, will they? Will that happen? It won't be us, will it?
Yeah, that will be Alex Dunn.
That will be Alex Dunn. He will do something, won't he?
He loves all
He'll do it. Something.
Alex Dunn and Jason will...
They've got some good fixtures, haven't they, with the... FC United and Manchester, yeah. Salford City.
We might do that one, since it's got a bit of Premier League class to it.
Maybe so. You'll hear the Punt podcast on Friday, so stay tuned for that. Remember, you can follow us on audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill, and you can get us on iTunes as well. For myself and Lee, it's goodbye. Enjoy your betting on the midweek action in Europe.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.